This hour is brought to you by Yuengling Traditional Lager, oldest brewery in America.
Struck him out looking. And Keller strikes out Pajes for a second time. That's five punch outs. Another strikeout for Keller. That's six. But a heck of a job here as he goes seven and a third.
Tremendous job.
Yep. Mitch Keller, one of his best pitching performances of his career.
No, you have absolutely no privacy when we're trying to see if you're a possible candidate for the Cubs. As the trade deadline approaches, this is Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score.
I don't think Mitch Keller wants privacy. I think he's very happy to maybe join a team where he might not lose 10 games in his first 18 starts.
That's a good sell. I see how you're already trying to sharpen the pitch for Mitch Keller, the 29-year-old right-hander currently pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Let's stalk him.
Let's. Do you know what he did in his last start? Let's start there because it was against the Cardinals.
Oh, he was dominant in that last start.
He had similar luck against Ye Cards. Seven innings, five hits, no earned runs, only one walk, and seven strikeouts. Right now, Keller is rocking a 3.64 ERA.
Not bad. What he's done over his last five starts, okay? He's been excellent in those starts. Even though the Pirates have only won two of those games, he's got a 2.40 ERA and a 3.12 FIP. That's fielding independent pitching. And he's been able to strike out 23 while only walking six. He's a guy who seems to be locked in after giving up six runs in the first start of the month of June against the Astros. And a lot of teams have been having troubles against the Astros of late.
Yes, they have. I would say outside of Toronto, that is probably the hottest team in baseball. Here's the thing about Mitch Keller that becomes very attractive when you consider his candidacy for a trade. It's his contract. As you can imagine, the Pittsburgh Pirates aren't exactly signing Juan Soto-type deals out there to players. 5 years, $77 million. He's in his second year. And this is a guy who was an all-star in 2023. But because of that desirable amount of years of control, and I think because of that friendly contract where he's only getting paid $16.9 million next year, $18.4 million in 2027, and $20.4 in 2028. There's a lot of teams who would consider this guy a huge bargain.
Those are all terms.
Especially at 29 years old.
And it's not just that he's 29 years old. He's arguably having the best year of his career with his ERA at 3.64, which would be the lowest of any of his full seasons. I mentioned the FIP over the last few games. Well, that FIP is standing strong. That's why the fielding and the pin pitching is such a big stat at 3.24. But the thing that I love about him is that whip has gotten low, 1.194. That would easily be the best whip of his career. All the while, he's not striking out as many batters as he has been in the past four seasons or so. But he's a guy who looks like he can go out there and get the job done, as evidenced by giving up just one run in five and a third against the Mets. And remember, he faced the Cubs not too long ago. And even though the Pirates lost that game 3-2 in 10 innings, is that the game we were at? I feel like that was the game we were at.
No, we were at the Colorado game.
Was it Colorado? Oh, yeah, you're right. Ugh. Yes, the Colorado game. I just remember it went extra innings. He only gave up two runs against the Cubs in six innings, and that was at Wrigley Field.
I also just like the idea that this guy's going to get you at least into the sixth inning. Take a look at the game log and you can see for yourself. 5 1/3, as you mentioned, 5 2/3 the time before that. In the month of June, he at least went 5 1/3 innings every time he went out. Six innings, six innings, 6 1/3. Same thing for the month of May. 6, 6, 6, 7, 6, and 5.
Only
that
one
five
start
is that,
this season.
That short start. So that was against the Padres. And he had that happen on the 20th of April as well against Cleveland. Other than that, and a start against the Yankees, that was 3 2/3. Other than that, he's probably getting you at least into the sixth inning. So that helps your bullpen as well. Or I still think the Cubs don't necessarily need to prioritize. I understand if you want to pick up a guy because that's what happens at the trade deadline. But there's a lot of teams that are going to have their eyes on him, I think, for this reason.
Well, I think the biggest thing is understanding now, as we do, how Craig Counsell looks at starting pitchers. He's like, don't call him a starter. Don't call him a reliever. It doesn't matter. Just get outs. This is a guy that in 17 of his 18 starts has gotten at least 15 outs. He's gotten 5 innings plus in 17 of 18 starts. That cannot be understated.
And he's also mentioned in Bob Nightingale's column. Says here, and this is the one where he calls Matthew Boyd the nicest guy in baseball, which I think we all agree with at this point.
Pretty accurate.
The Cubs' urgency to find another starter accelerated when they placed veteran Jameson Taillon on the injured list with a calf strain, sidelining him for at least a month. They continue to pursue Pirates starter Mitch Keller, but his price tag is soaring, with Keller yielding a 2.40 ERA in his last 5 starts, including 7 scoreless against St. Louis. Executives wonder if the Pirates will be reluctant to trade some of their most valuable chips now that the team is performing well under interim manager Don Kelly. They are 26-25 under Kelly. And the point is that trading Keller might also further alienate their fan base.
I don't know that particular fan base can be further alienated. They know what it is. It's much like Bulls fans. They know exactly what is going on and what's not going on.
Yeah, that is how I feel. Like you're not exactly telling any secrets here when it comes to how the Pirates have constructed their team. Also, they did do the right thing, and I don't think Paul Skeens is getting traded. I know we still get some questions about it here and there. I understand why there is a request there. Yes, I'm sure you would love Paul Skeens for Moises Ballesteros or something along those lines. I just think that is very unlikely
to
happen.
Wait a minute. Moises Ballesteros for Paul Skeens?
I was making a joke.
Oh, I was like, I thought somebody humor. Like texted us that there's something I missed. I was like, let's be real.
It was a joke.
Paul Skeens ain't going nowhere.
I don't feel like that is happening. Like even today, 815, can we just get Skeens instead? Yeah.
So it did happen. Okay.
I'm sure that is the goal. Shoot or shoot. You know, I understand that. But I think the more likely scenario is that it's an Andrew Heaney type, as I mentioned. I'll put him on my stalking list. Or Mitch Keller in this case. But I do like Keller because of the reasons that we've discussed. Like, that contract alone makes you feel like you're making an investment. Here's the other issue, though. Is it us talking about how even the Pirates can be in a place where they feel like they are more confident about their future because their interim manager has them, in his time, a game over 500. So now you're talking about the last place team, 12 games back of the wild card at 38-54, still having reason to keep talent who has 2 or 3 years left on their contract. In this case, it's 3 after this season.
I think
we
part of that,
still don't know who the buyers and sellers are yet.
I think part of that, Layla, is based on the same thing we're seeing out of the Diamondbacks, where even if this year is shot, they see how much opportunity there is next season even. And for the Pirates, they're starving to get back into a playoff position. And they're thinking, if we give up these pitchers we know we can depend on, that's most of the battle. You can go out and sign like a position player much easier than you can sign a pitcher to bolster your staff at this point.
Oh, yeah. Innings are gold, in my opinion. Like, they're absolutely the highest of the currency when it comes to value for players. But here's the thing. Consider how many teams are less than 10 games back of a wild card. Okay, let's go. So you're talking 10, or even less than 10 games back in their own division. Like, for example, the entire AL East, 1-5, they are the lowest team. The Orioles in the standings are still 7.5 games back of a wild card. And we've talked about how the Orioles are disappointing because they have talent, they built it for many years, and it's not performing. And the AL Central, the White Sox are in last place, but the team right above them, who made it to the ALCS last year, the Guardians, and we've talked about how they've fallen off, well, they're 6.5 back. And then the two teams ahead of them, the Twins and the Royals, are 5 back. Same thing can be said in the West. Outside of the Athletics, the Rangers are 4.5 game back. The Angels are 4 games back. You get my drift. There's right. A lot of teams who still think that they're likely in contention, and by the math, they are, to at least get into a wild card, and that's what makes it so complicated. And I think just drives the price up when it comes to guys like Mitch Keller.
We are stalking Mitch Keller as we continue our stalking series ahead of the July 31st trade deadline. Potential trade targets of the Chicago Cubs. We've already talked about Sandy Alcantara today. We continue the conversation. Mitch Keller being the person that we're putting under the microscope. Again, This is a guy who's 29 years old. He's in the second year of a five-year reasonable deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you have to ask, are the Pirates willing to reset, or are they excited about playing around 500 baseball under new interim manager Don Kelly?
I think there's a couple of other points here, because it's not like Keller was a trade candidate just right now. There was a lot of discussion about him being a possible trade candidate at the beginning of the season. And at that point, it was before he turned 29, and his consistency was appreciated. So the two seasons where he had previous to this, he had nearly identical walk rates in those seasons, 6.7% in 2023, 6.5% last year, and had the exact same 1.16 home runs per nine in each of the years. So you like the fact that you know exactly what you seem to be getting with this guy.
It's about consistency for the Cubs. They're looking for people who can come in, get outs, and at least be consistent. And that's something that, even though it's not elite-level talent, when you're talking about Mitch Keller, it is consistent. So much so, listen to Pirates interim manager Don Kelly after Keller's start in the Pirates' 9-1 win over the Mets. He talks about that consistency.
Really just competing in the zone. They were fouling pitches off, and you know, he ended up getting Alonzo there with that slider. But just the way that he's been, I mean, you can't tell. Every day that he comes in, he's the same guy. And he goes out there, and you know, we've talked about before, he was 1-10. He has not pitched. He's pitched more like 10-1 than he has 1-10, and you know, did that again tonight against a really good Mets lineup.
And that's why pitching records don't necessarily matter. I do want to also point out what John Heyman had to say on the morning show yesterday when it came to Mitch Keller and also the price for starting pitching. Let's listen a little more in depth to what John Heyman had to say about Mitch Keller specifically, because the Cubs aren't the only ones interested. The Mets are too.
I do believe that they will. This isn't going to be the kind of money that, let's say, a Tucker extension is. You know, this is about giving up prospects. And I do think David Stearns, as great a GM as he is, he has been shown to be fairly cautious in giving up prospects in the past. You know, I do think Jed Hoyer has done a terrific job. He is in the last year of his contract. He does want to win. I wouldn't give the Mets any edge in any pursuit there. Both teams have good prospects. Maybe the Cubs are ranked slightly higher than the Mets prospects, but both teams have good prospects. And, you know, the problem really is the number of good starting pitchers who are going to be available is very, very limited, and the number of teams that need starting pitching is very, very high. The Yankees, certainly with Clark Schmidt presumably being out for the year now, they need to get a starting pitcher. I think that almost every contending team is going to need and go for a starting pitcher. Maybe not the Phillies. They have pretty good starting pitching depth, and they're hoping Nola's back. You know, I think just the competition is keen, and you're going to have to overpay to get a Mitch Keller. He may end up being the best starter out there. I know there are some people hoping or had been hoping that Freddie Peralta would be out there. I think that's a long shot. They have a one-year option at $8 million to go with Milwaukee. Certainly not getting traded to the Cubs anyway, but I don't think he's getting traded. Seth Lugo, I think, is a possibility. He's got an opt-out. They've underperformed in Kansas City, although I think they're reluctant to sell to. They're fairly committed. So, I mean, Keller may be the best guy out there. I actually think Hauser should bring a pretty good price for the White Sox. He has been terrific. And I heard one of your callers say earlier that maybe he should be the all-star on that team. And I think that's probably correct overall, looking at the numbers, even though he's only been there for half the time or less. He's been outstanding in the time that he has been there, and certainly Shane Smith did a very, very good job the first 6 weeks or so, and overall it's a great story. Rule 5 pickup, not many Rule 5 pickups make an all-star team right away. Dan Uggla, I think, maybe the only other one,
right.
So give him credit.
Yeah.
But I think Hauser was probably their all-star, and I think they need to trade him and get something good for him.
I agree with John Heyman.
It's kind of sobering, though, right? When he kind of explains starting pitching is going to be that thing, and Keller might be the best teams could do, especially this early, because they're one of the few teams who are out of the mix.
Well, and even then, as we read from Bob Nightingale, that they may want to keep him because of the long-term investment aspect, and that would make a lot of sense. Doesn't stop us from talking about him. This is Raheemy Ann Harris on 670 The Score. This is our stalking segment where we take a look at a lot of the possible trade deadline candidates that could end up on the Cubs. We take requests, and we've had a lot of them. And now we're just getting Paul Skene's trade proposals. And I'm good with it because let's have some fun. Like, go ahead. Use your trade brain a little bit. Be your own trade machine.
I'm guessing that...
And go ahead and try to figure that one out. Let's have some fun.
Approximately 80% of the people sending them play fantasy baseball, or at least fantasy football. And so this is where this comes from, because Paul Skene's isn't going anywhere right now, not in the middle of this season. Although I will say this, Paul Skene's probably not too happy either at 3-7 or 3-8, because he's looking at the run support that one Mitch Keller got his last two times out, because he was 1-10. He's now 3-10 after his last two starts, because he got a 9-1 win over the Mets and a 5-0 win over the Cardinals. And there's been a lot of instances where Paul Skene's goes out, pitches zeros, and still can't get a decision.
As a Jose Quintana observer, I know that life well. Okay. Adam in Dundee says, I like Keller too. I'm not being contrarian, but don't you think somebody like Merrill Kelly would make more sense with still coming back next season? Here's the thing, though. The Diamondbacks are a perfect example of a team where we don't know what they're doing. They've got a lot of great trade candidates because they have a lot of talent on their team. We don't necessarily know if they're going to be moving any of those guys. Can we look at them? Do we take requests on stalking? Yes, we can do all of that. We can look at the resumes. But when it comes to the likelihood of them getting traded, you know, that's where the rub comes in. That's why I think, going back to what Jim Bowden said with us last week, it's about the likelihood of some of these guys being moved more so than it is necessarily whether or not you think there's value. There is value in all of them.
I'll bring it back to fantasy sports. Did I want to trade for Saquon Barkley last season? Of course. Did the player who was not in first, second, third, fourth, or fifth place that owned Saquon Barkley want to give him up? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's it. If I'm building a team and they've slightly underperformed, I'm like, yeah, we're still good. Like, I ain't getting rid of these dudes.
This is really the only way I can come back and make a difference going forward.
Exactly.
So, thought exercise, we can do this quickly. Paul Skene's PCA, who says no? Which team says goodness. No?
You are...
stirring the pot.
You know what? You're high on decorative pillows is what has happened.
The Cubs say no. I just want to point that out. The Cubs say no. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
But you know what? No. There needs to be some segment where we just get this out of our system. People call in with crazy trade ideas, and sometimes I entertain them, and sometimes I throw out my own. Like,
I think the Pirates definitely say no.
Maybe though. We need to just get it all out of our system. The silliest ones that we want to say that we know even aren't likely. So, like, you just have to throw it out there to move on to the next thought.
So both teams say no. I'm good with that, too. If I'm the Cubs, there's no way I'm trading Pete Crow Armstrong right now.
815 schemes for Vidal Bruhan.
Yes. Except.
But see, 331, why would the Pirates keep Paul Skene's when they are not going anywhere this year or next year? This is it. This is that. You nailed it.
If you have to explain to people that Paul Skene's is under control for several more years, I don't know what to say.
But that's the point here. Sometimes you want to keep your assets. It's just a matter of whether or not you can get somebody or a group for them. Think about the Garrett Crochet trade. And think about how the return for that trade, 3 or 4 now in the major leagues. So just consider that piece of it. And I think that'll help it make more sense. As for the decorative pillows, I don't know what I need to do for you there.
I'm anti.
I think they've affected your brain, though.
We're all anti-decorative
pillows. Down with Bed Bath & Beyond.
They did themselves in, unfortunately. One of my favorite stores. But what can we do? I know somebody who might entertain us when it comes to at least these theoretical trade discussions.
Is it Cody Decker, perhaps?
Get your caffeine ready, kids. I've got mine. I'm doing Costa today. It's an international brand. I got the Jewel. I don't know what to tell you. Get your caffeine ready. Cody Decker, the energy, the baseball talk, and maybe some trade discussions are all happening next on Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
You're listening to Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, I think based on the text line in the Twitch chat, I have an idea. Would you like to hear it?
I already know what the idea is, so don't ask me. Ask the people out there. Ask the people in the mob. Ask the texters. But yes, go ahead with the idea. Let them know what we're going
to
do.
I think... You guys just need to get it out of your system, because we're getting a lot of trade scenarios, and some of them are funny, and some of them I'm afraid are serious.
My favorite ones involve Paul Skene's.
Schemes.
Yes,
we know what they mean. So, all right, just do me a favor, go to the Odyssey app, There's a feature on there called Leave a Voice Message. Just get your trade ideas out there. They're anonymous on the meatball machine. You don't have to actually say
your name. Or you
can
put your name on if you want.
You don't have to. Like, it's, we'll play them, but nobody's going to necessarily know who you are if we just play them in succession, you know, like in order.
This is a great idea.
Your voice isn't going to necessarily stick out. So
meatball machine.
Maybe just vent them to the meatball machine. We'll just play them. And then you feel like you got it out of your system.
It's definitely a meatball topic. It's a meatball thing.
It is. It is indeed, because some of these are hilarious. All right, let's go now back to the Circle Resort and Casino Hotline. CircleLasVegas.com. My caffeine is ready. The hype is here. Cody Decker joining us. Always happy to talk to Cody Decker, the former major leaguer himself. And Cody, of course, also hosting Bet for the Cycle Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the BetMGM network. Cody, you got any interesting trades that you want to throw out there just to, like, release the thought?
Sure. Chris Sale to anywhere, anywhere at all. Just say Chris Sale, Atlanta Braves, and everyone will come a running. Even though he's injured right now, it doesn't even matter. That's how much everyone needs a Chris Sale. And if I'm the Boston Red Sox, I do everything I can to make the most ridiculous trade in the world. Now, I want to make this abundantly clear. This is not going to happen, but I want it to. Chris Sale and Matt Olson over there to Boston. They need a first baseman. They need another arm. Ladies and gentlemen, the Boston Red Sox make the playoffs and the Yankees don't. Feed that to me.
Where?
But we're at, where?
No, I'm saying, what are you giving up? I'm curious.
God, have you seen their farm system? They have like 40 top prospects.
They can move
a ton of them.
I don't hate that idea if you're the Boston Red Sox.
Some would argue that the Red Sox in their efforts with Devers might also be sellers now too, in a way, if they think that they don't have enough to make it to a wild card. Like that,
they're a game out.
But that's what makes this so hard to figure out is I just went through the list of AL teams, for example, Cody, where there are teams within five games of a wild card. So how can you say on the 8th of July that they're out of it? They're not.
No, they're only
special. Yeah, especially looking last year with the New York Mets. The New York Mets, at the trade deadline, by all visual aspects, were out of it. But they were the hottest team in baseball from the end of May on. They decided to go all in on it. They made it to the NLCS, and they deserved to be in the NLCS. They remained the hottest team throughout baseball that entire time, which is why I'm not exactly sleeping on the Arizona Diamondbacks right now, who are only one game under 500 and do have a lot of interesting pieces. Eugenio Suarez, who's an all-star, is absolutely a third baseman that the Yankees should do everything they can to get their hands on because they need to fill in third base. That being said, the Diamondbacks could possibly go on a run. So could the Cleveland Guardians, who have been an absolute disaster as of late.
Yeah, that's where I sit with this, is that there are so many teams. Fangraphs did the math. I think it was something like over 20 teams that are still reasonably in contention for a wild card spot.
Yep.
And that's what makes it so hard to figure out. But yeah, you're right. Like there's going to be some tough decisions that happen in the next few weeks where teams are really going to have to say, we aren't what we thought we were, and this might be something where one deal could hurt you, as we know, for years.
Exactly. I mean, I'm looking at the barometer right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the National League side is kind of where the line is. They're currently hovering at 500. The Marlins, who are 41-48 and have been playing some pretty decent baseball as of late, you could make the argument they can go for it, but go for it for what? They're not going to catch up to the Mets or the Phillies, so I don't see them doing anything except for selling. As for other teams in the National League, the Braves, they are just flat out of it as far as I'm concerned. They should absolutely sell. Will they? Because they have their entire team locked up for the next 7 years. That's why I don't really think Matt Olson's a potential trade piece. It's going to be a very unique time. We're in a world of 25 buyers and roughly five sellers.
Cody, I'm looking at this break. I know we're a ways away from the actual trade deadline. But if you're looking for pitching help, it seems to be a fool's errand at this particular time. You're going to have to wait a couple of weeks, I think, based on what you just said and based on what we've witnessed so far.
Not to mention on top of that, if you're one of those teams that have one of those coveted prospects or coveted pitchers that you don't really need to part ways with until the final hour, you can drive up the price because pitching. I mean, look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, arguably the best team ever assembled, who have the second best record in Major League Baseball right now. They've had 16 to 17 pitchers on the IL this season, not players, pitchers, because of the pitching is at such a premium and guys break down so ungodly fast based on how pitching metrics are being used these days. if it ain't nailed to the ground and it could pitch, trade for it.
Yeah, we were just talking about Mitch Keller earlier, and even just looking at the contract and knowing how consistent he's been, I do think he's a fantastic candidate.
Mm-hmm. He is. He absolutely is. And I'm looking at teams like the Pirates. I know everybody wants to keep saying Paul Skeens. There's no universe I see it happening, at least not yet. Not this season, probably not next season either. I'm actually, believe it or not, and I know no one in Chicago is going to like hearing me say this, but I'm holding out hope that somebody just gets Mr. Nutting to sell the team in the next 2 years. I don't want the Pirates to become a new juggernaut, but I would like to see Pittsburgh be at least a competitive baseball team. That's the same city that's got the Steelers, yet no pride whatsoever on the baseball side anymore. It's very frustrating to watch.
It's very much fireworks, and we hope you enjoyed what we showed you today. I covered the Pittsburgh Pirates for 2 years as a sideline reporter, a pre- and post-game host. Nothing has changed since I left there. It's if we roll up on something good, we'll build around it for a limited time, Andrew McCutchen. And This seems like more of the same with Paul Skeens. Remember, and this is the thing I try to get all these people who are throwing out these trade ideas. They have him under team control through 2029. That is a long time. So they should be with him, with Mitch Keller, possibly ready to build something. Now, if you can move Mitch Keller and get another ready-to-go position player and an almost ready-to-go starting pitcher and maybe some bullpen help, I could see why you would do a deal like that if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense in terms of trying to be competitive one day.
Yeah, but that's the thing with the Pirates, man. It's always one day. It's never we're going for it now. And up until 3 years ago, the highest paid Pirate in the history of the team was Jason Kendall. That was in 2003. Like,
it's been a minute.
Jason Kendall, what a throwback. Yep. I was thinking Johnny Depp. Wrong nope. Pirates. Wrong
I pirates. Wish.
Yeah.
God, he would be a much more effective Pirate than pretty much any Pirate in the last 20 years.
I also want to ask you about the All-Star game, because we got, you know, we had the final All-Stars be named, and that came down, and we were talking about how, you know, in the National League, your competition is quite stiff. Do you think there were any Cubs who really deserved an All-Star nod that didn't get one?
Listen, I'm not saying this as a Cubs homer. Seiya Suzuki should be an All-Star. 25 home runs and 77 RBIs and an OPS around 900 should definitely get you in the All-Star game. But like you said, the National League is just so damn loaded right now. And listen, Bush should also be an All-Star. He really should be. His OPS is 7th in Major League Baseball and hovering around 945. And I'm going to say something that's going to be a little out there, and hear me out, but it's just facts. If we're basing this off of stats, Freddie Freeman is not your starting first baseman. It should be Pete Alonso, and Bush should be the backup. I'm sorry. Yeah, Cubs fans, get out and vote more next year. The Dodger fans just beat you to it.
No, and let's be honest. Freddie Freeman is going to the Hall of Fame. So his name, career-wise, carries way more weight in not L.A. and not Chicago, if we put it that way. My big point was, Michael Bush is a bigger snub, Cody, than Seiya Suzuki, because look at the people he's going up against under DH, and look at the people, Matt Olson, are you kidding me, that he's going up against at first base in Michael Bush. So Michael Bush, to me, is more deserving of the other guys, as you speak of, at his position compared to Seiya Suzuki and who's at his position.
I completely agree. That being said, I would really like, of the two, I could definitely see Seiya getting a last-second nod in there, and we'll see what happens over Michael Bush. And by the way, that doesn't mean I'm right about that or agree with that decision. Again, Bush's numbers, OPS of 947 is not real. The guy is absolutely killing it and should be an All-Star. But Seiya, I know this is so old school of me, but man, I just keep looking at 25 home runs and 77 RBIs and giggling that's not an All-Star. Guy should be in the home run derby.
You're right. And that's what bothers me is there are some people that I respect tremendously who don't put as much stock into the RBI stat. But I think it does speak to how we're not talking about the Cubs' deficiency with runners in scoring position as much as we have in past seasons, because you have a guy who's bringing them home. Like, there's still a lot of value in this. And you know that as a former player.
I mean, if you get ready for this, new heads, you're going to lose your minds at me. I think RBI is the most important stat in baseball. If you don't have RBIs, you don't get runs. You don't get runs, you don't win. I understand that there are other factors involved. You have to have people on base for you to drive them in. But having been somebody that is sitting in that situation with runners in scoring position in front of 25,000 people, it's a high-pressure, high-leverage situation. And if you're getting the job done at the most high leverage, high pressure situations, that should be rewarded. 77 RBIs is a great season. It's an astonishing good first half.
Amen.
I'll leave you with this. Say Suzuki batting over 300 with runners in scoring position, but it ain't the 365 that Michael Busch is batting with runners in scoring position. He has a lot less RBI because he has less opportunities.
That's fair. But at the end of the day, 77 RBIs, dude. I can't argue against it. I'm sorry.
Love it. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we let you go, Cody?
You know, I don't really like peas. I had some last night at dinner, and I gotta say, they don't really supply anything to anything. I don't know why they exist. I don't know why anyone thinks it's a delicacy. It's just mushy nonsense, and frankly, it ruined my day.
Sometimes I think they provide texture and nutritional value. That's what I've been told. Sometimes
they're
people
lying.
Put them in guacamole, and
they're
I
not
think
real
that that's
vegetables.
Outlandish.
I'm with you. They're not real vegetables. That's
in guacamole?
Yeah.
Who do you know that's ruining guacamole?
Unfriend them. The New York Times.
Unfriend them.
Well, the New York Times comes up with some crazy recipe type stuff. I will say that.
Yeah, look it up for yourself. So I'm with you.
Don't let that make you believe, Cody, that Layla likes raisins in her potato salad. That is just a rumor. It's not fact.
Oh, that is definitely not fact. I don't think I've had a raisin in many... Maybe in a cookie,
Oh,
but
I
that's
pick them
it.
Out of an oatmeal raisin cookie. I'm just telling you.
Aw,
bagels, cinnamon raisin bagel.
Good call. Good call.
Yes.
Cody, we always love hearing from you. You can check out his show on BetMGM as well. Cody, thanks for joining us today.
No, thank you. I'm going to go golf and dominate.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Cody.
Thank you so much. I want to remind people, this is the time you can win stuff. Okay, caller 6 to the score contest line. That's 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire in Glenview on Wednesday, July 23rd, featuring special guest Michael Busch, he of the IBAT 365 with runners in scoring position fame. Baseball After Dark presented by Huntington Bank. Life is a masterpiece. Make your money story a bestseller. And by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories.
So we have a bit of a show scheduling announcement. It's been something we've been workshopping, but we had to find the time.
It's tough. Vacations happen. It's summertime.
The time has been found. So you can join us in that as well. We'll talk about it next here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen, we're trying to get to Berlin, Germany. Do you know if there's a train coming anytime soon?
Oh, yes, very soon. They are building it now.
That is the reference that we are making to our movie club. We finally figured out a time to get it going. We're going to give you 10 days to watch Eurotrip.
Yeah, and if you didn't know because your name's Scotty, now you know.
On the 17th, next Thursday, that is the day that we are going to talk about Eurotrip. So you can join us. We'll watch it. We'll do a segment on it. I feel like that's fun. Anytime you can watch something and review it together. I strongly recommend us at some point watching the Woodstock 99 documentary on Netflix because those three episodes explain to my dad why I wasn't remarried.
Also, it's only 9 days away. I just did the math on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, 17th. Yeah. So, yeah. You're right.
So I'm someone who's never seen Eurotrip. I need to see it in the next 9 days.
Goodness,
if you were to give me a synopsis of what this movie is or to get people to want to watch it like myself, how would you describe this movie?
Well, Robbie, you're a teammate of ours, so we're not going to do that because it's a responsibility of our show. For the other people, they can look it up or just watch the movie. That's the idea. You watch it and then we talk about it later. But I think there's a lot of popular cultural references that we can have. It's just a good old-fashioned, aught 2000s-ish comedy. Is that a Y2K comedy, if you will?
I will say this. The movie was in 2004. There is a high caliber, an elite cameo, basically right when you start this movie, that will stick with you through the rest of the movie. That's a strong way to describe that. That's a tease, if you will. And it will stick with you for the rest of the movie. And it's a great movie. What I can tell you, Robbie, is it will give you a nostalgic feel because it's about some high schoolers getting out of high school.
I was in high school, and I left high school, so that worked for me.
Yes.
And how do you feel about pop culture references, such as phrases that we use?
I love pop culture references.
So I, for example, recently went to a bar called Scotty Doesn't Know.
I don't know what that means, but I will.
Yes, you will. Before next Thursday. Do you think you can make it? Do you think you can nail the assignment? You have a lot of responsibilities.
Me? No, dude. I love myself a good movie. I actually found out that New York Times 100 movies of the century. I watched 49 of them.
Well, 49. I was happy that I got number one and three right. Number two, I couldn't help on, but
Mulholland Drive was number two.
Yeah, is that how you say it?
I think. Mulholland. I just hate decorative pillows.
I'm Mulholland. Point being, Parasite and There Will Be Blood. Yeah. I don't know who created that list, but whoever wants to feel empty inside, like everything is dark and twisty, like me, I appreciate that movie reviewer.
And if you don't have a streaming service that currently has it playing, you can literally just go to your search and so it'll be on television at some point. Now, I don't know if the television version will be good enough. Because it's a rated R movie, so something might be cut. But I'm just saying, this movie is made to be seen.
We've already got some good text references rolling in, and Twitch, I assume, will be on it as well. So all of that is a good thing. Yeah, I haven't watched Mulholland Drive, but I did watch There Will Be Blood and Parasite, of course, and I love them both. They're disturbing.
What would you say is your favorite like guilty pleasure movie? Because it seems like even though I haven't seen it, Eurotrip is probably like a funny guilty pleasure. You just need your brain to turn off.
The Sweetest Thing.
Is that the one with Cameron Diaz?
Yep.
And the yeah.
It's a silly road trip that has no plot and doesn't make any sense.
Where the thing takes off and comes back and hits them. Yes.
Yeah. Or the women when that's on. I'll stay.
So for me,
but the other guys is up there for me.
I'm sorry, the other guys. About to say that.
I don't know how this movie is so underrated. The other guys, why people when they talk about Will Ferrell's catalog, it should be higher.
The other guys is hilarious. Like the entire time, well, you learn how to dance ironically.
You know, I have the one shirt referring to a Gator quote that I wear sometimes. I had another shirt I was going to buy. It just says "Aim for the bushes." And like, if you know, you know. That's
how I feel like Jaw addresses the hoop. Like, Jaw's just like, I'm going to jump. Maybe I'll get there. Maybe I won't.
Hey, don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yeah. Yo,
with Michael Keaton.
Elite. An elite reference. Also, my guilty pleasure movie is, to probably no one's surprise here, Major Payne. Like, if that thing is on, listen. He's hilarious in that movie. The kids do a great job in that movie. And yeah, Damon Wayans is an elite actor, comedian.
Ahead of his time in many ways, I would say.
Yeah, but it's a guilty pleasure. It's a movie that most people don't know or they just don't appreciate. Like, it's a funny movie, but it's not like Harold. It's not like a high budget movie. It's just funny.
Let me give you a pro tip. The Other Guys often airs on cable, and if you have a DVR, you can just find it and then just hit record.
Yeah.
And then it'll be there for you.
It's a great movie.
It really is. But first things first, Euro Trip. So next Thursday, get ready. Also, as we said earlier, I see a lot of you have some questionable trades that you need to get out there. So I think you should use the Odyssey app. Just be anonymous. Just tell the meatball machine.
Meatball machine.
Leave a voice message. We'll put them all together in a compilation, and that way nobody's wrong and nobody's right either.
That might be one of those things also with the meatball machine. We might unload that on a weekly basis until the trade deadline comes, because I feel like we're going to get a lot.
And I mean, and to be fair, NBA trades, like, but there's a trade machine for that. I feel like that's
we're making
a
our
more
own trade machine. Yeah, exactly. Meatball machine.
Meatball machine, trade machine.
Trade machine.
You're right.
How about a ticket machine?
Give it away now.
Caller 6 to the score contest line, 312-540-0670, as in 312-540 0670 will win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs against Kansas City at Wrigley Field on July 21st. It is all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. We think we should throw some crazy trades out there to, like, here's what I think is going to happen. Lawrence and Matt are going to just scroll the text line and be like, what?
What were they talking about?
What were you guys on?
815, my last desk pop was September 8th. I like that. Also, 309, Blank Man greater than Major Payne. I'm not arguing that point. I agree. Blank Man is a superior movie to Major Payne. I'm just telling you my guilty pleasure is Major Payne.
Yeah, just, you know, we'll watch a movie since we don't have a lot of games. I feel like that's a fair trade. Coming up next, Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.